All right. Hello, everyone. Today is Thursday, October 24th. It is 5:37 p.m., and I'm calling the meeting to order for our October Urban Montessori Charter School Board meeting. Greg, will you do roll call?
Sure. Amy, are you here?
Present.
Anne.
Here.
Evan.
Here.
And this is Greg. I'm here. I see Sarah's absent. And Kara, are you here?
I am here.
You're here remotely. I'd like to make a motion that we let Kara participate tonight virtually. She had she wasn't feeling great. We didn't get her address on, and we're allowed to make these exceptions twice a year. So I'd like to make a motion to let her participate virtually.
Second.
Is there any discussion on the motion or public comment on the motion? Right.
Right.
You want to? So seeing no objection, go for it.
Correct. Seeing no objections, we'll make a motion to adopt allowing Kara to participate remotely for today's board meeting.
Awesome. And then the last thing, Kara, if you'll just declare if there's anyone in the room, now that we are allowing you to participate, is there anyone in the room with you who's over 18?
There is no one in the room with me at all.
Okay. If anyone comes into the room who's over 18, you have to let us know and you have to say who they are.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Agenda item C, review of action and discussion items. Anybody have?
I don't need any changes. Anyone need any changes?
All right. Community appreciation.
I want to appreciate this board. It's been a great experience being here with all of you and just the dedication of everybody who does this work. It's just really inspiring. I'm so grateful for my kid, also just our larger community. And Daniel, you're just awesome to work with. You're very grounded and I can clear you're steering the school in a great direction. So thanks for letting me be a part of it.
I'll share. Thank you for being one of the first FAC members in a long time to complete the full 2-year term. So well, rad. I mean, Kara, definitely, yeah. You two are amazing FAC parent leaders, so, and have been. And Evan, you have big shoes you have to follow in this path. Atlanta, thank you too for being here early and being willing to learn and step in and asking so many great questions.
Pleasure. I want to appreciate Daniel for leading his first, not over yet, but leading your first charter renewal. It wasn't until last week that I learned that you've not been through one, definitely in this seat, but also in other admin seats. So I want to appreciate you and your entire staff, actually, for supporting important last.
You can for FAC and Sarah. To put together our fall fest and read upon kickoff last Saturday. It was a lot of fun. Hopefully that becomes a yearly thing.
It was fun.
Thank you, Evan, for the amazing dinner.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. It is sure. Absolutely welcome.
Thank you to our primary teachers who, when they walked in today, or at least to a hummingbird and dolphin teachers, who found out when they walked in today, the class you would be elsewhere today due to a routine test control issue that carried over when it shouldn't have carried over and will be fine by tomorrow. They were in separate spaces today and they found out when they walked in. So thank you for your flexibility and amazing to get the kids in. Funny spaces.
I think it's the season. Kids school also had to be. Maybe it was not the team. Infestation. Well, thank you for everyone sharing your appreciations. Next item Any board members wishing to speak on an issue that's not on the agenda tonight? Okay. And besides Kara, are there any other public?
No, there's no one else on Zoom.
Okay. Moving right along. Daniel, head of school report.
You were short in a school report. So some recent and upcoming events. Our fall donation drive completed the day before the Fall Fest. That drive raised just over $31,000. And I think the part that makes me happier is that we had just about 50% of our families contributing to that, which felt really good. We didn't reach the goals, but I think that's higher than much higher than last year, and hopefully that will just keep going up and following the year. We had a Fall Fest and Readathon kickoff on that following day on the Saturday. It was a lot of fun. The wind was unexpected and caused some interesting obstacles, but outside of that, it was great and lots of fun. I got to meet the librarian from my local library, which I didn't know was my local library, which was really nice, and my kids, I know, had a great time. Bought lots of books, so it was a really nice start to that period. Next Tuesday on the 29th at 5:30, we have our first parent engagement night. Ms. Toby, our director of instruction, will be talking about the four planes of development, which we talked about in Montessori, at the characteristics of each of those stages of development that we serve here, how you can support at home, and how we support at school. Child care and refreshments will be provided by the FAC, which is really exciting. And messaging went out about that. Hey, the RSVP for that event. Next Friday, November 1st, we have PD day, so there's no students.
Brilliant. Sorry. It just happened to be.
Okay. We have lots of plans for teachers to look over their next stage of data that we're getting in to look at the action plans that they made for their students in the first PD day and make adjustments if needed. Well, we have our FAC coffee hangout. Quick change. Rumor has it that we're also bringing back at the end of that coffee, going around and taking staff coffee and donuts. So I'm really excited that FAC is going back to FAC. We're bringing that back. So, renewal of it. Lots of you have probably seen the method, seen my messages. We have an official timeline with our public hearing at the Alameda County Office of Education Office in Hayward on Tuesday, November 12th. Their meeting started at 6:30. I don't know where on their agenda will be yet, but sometime after 6:30, hoping that we have families attend. I get public comment. I put out a message around that. I'm going to be reaching out to the families that are going to do that in this week. Based off of that public hearing, we're going to have ACLU staff come visit on the 19th, actually combining their yearly visit with their renewal visit on that day. And then our determination hearing is December 10th, also as it's a office. The staff actually put out the recommendation report to week of November 25th. Week of all break.
Oh, they work during, okay.
For the fall drive, were there different strategies taken this year in terms of parent engagement, family engagement that you think led to the?
Yeah, we sent more all texts. And I also had one all. So just trying to get more ways of communication out. Every time we send them all heads, we get a little flurry.
I will throw out that 49% is amazing because I think our standard participation is like 30 or under for most fundraisers. So that's really incredible.
And I think we'll do some other opportunities for months, right? Like we did the Tuesday one last year, and then you can do one at the end of the year.
That whole donation drive last year kind of
killed me. Yeah, right.
We didn't really have any, I think it ended. Ish.
Getting Tuesday and the same thing over there.
Interesting.
When's the last message that went out? Yeah.
I think we got more from more families in much shorter period. And more tips coming in after the deadline. So you can even check this week into the weekend.
Do you have any regarding the charter renewal timeline? You mentioned the ACOE staff visiting. Do you have any updates on board member visits?
Currently not.
Okay.
I just a follow up to that. And then does that mean it's just in motion of scheduling or?
It's fine.
Their head of school reports. Right, if not, Danielle, do you want to move to the bank account authorization item?
Yes. So we have had some obstacles working with our bank this year. And some obstacles with kind of getting compliance and the kind of actions that we need from our bank. So we have been exploring the possibility of finding a new bank to bank with school based off of some public reviews and recommendations from FinTech. We reached out to a few banks, one of them being Heritage Bank of Commerce. And so we had some initial conversations with them, and they've been super responsive, super helpful, and kind of explaining the process and what's possible and what's not possible. Initially, we were concerned that there's not a bank branch nearby, but it turned out to be an Oakland branch, which we're excited about. And I've just been really impressed with the customer service there. They have a nonprofit. That supports the schools and other nonprofits. They're well with us with them. So I recommend that you vote to allow us to bank with Heritage Bank. And we're ready to do that.
I motion to direct the head of school to begin banking with Heritage Bank of Commerce.
A second.
So hearing no objections, we'll adopt the motion to authorize us to bank with Heritage Bank.
Questions?
No question, no public comments.
You have your banker on speed dial.
All in person
tomorrow. Okay, moving on to the adoption of the Correction Active Plan.
Yeah, so in the files, we have a document called our Medium 6 Corrective Action Plan.
Just real quick. I make a motion to adopt the action plan. Is there a second for my motion? Anne, the second. Thank you, Anne. I see you, Kara. Anne got there. Now we've got a motion on the floor. Go ahead and present it. Yeah.
So this is a renewal requirement for schools that are in the low track. And it wasn't requirement to turn into COE as part of the renewal petition, but it is a CDE requirement. So we will definitely be sending it to ACOE as another document to look at. But really, it's about taking the data that puts you in that low tier and laying out what root causes are, what we think the root causes are, and the action plans that are going to be taken for each of those root causes. Right? So for this action plan, we focus on chronic absenteeism, our ELA SBAC scores, and our math SBAC scores. And you look through this document, and you start with some historical data, what our data looks like next to the states and OUS leagues. See our chronic absenteeism are lower than OUSDs, but sometimes have this state, the lack of actually lower than states. Same thing with our ELA and SBAC scores. You start with a comparison us, the state, and Oakland Unified. And so for the ELA and math scores, we're lower than the state, but higher than Oakland Unified. And you've talked a lot about the strategies that are laid out in this already in a lot of our previous meetings. So I'm not going to do all of the strategies, but really it's just putting it all into one place. It's also in our petitions. But just putting it into one document, it'll be a kind of an easy way for staff to look at.
Would you say there's anything in here that's not already in the petition or like wholly new because we created this document?
I think we've expanded on the language and some of the things around chronic absenteeism might be new, but that's also, I think that's one of our stronger areas, at least in comparison. I think the test scores that have been focused on by staff. I think one thing that we really did focus on here is adjusting the language to make it more traditional public education friendly. To kind of use language that staff will understand better than if we use kind of sort of language around things, how we do things. So that was kind of one of the focuses in building this out.
Can I ask a question about these numbers? Sure. Do the OUSD numbers include high school, or is it comparative TK3? All of OUSD. Okay.
So it's our third through eighth graders, their third through eighth graders, and then also their 11th graders.
Only 11th?
That's the only other test takers, right?
For absenteeism?
Oh, no, sorry. For absenteeism, it's all grades, probably including TK. But for the SBAC, those are the grades that take the SBAC in math and reading. Daniel, on our side of things, who's been a part of seeing this document and putting it together?
It's been mostly me and Krishna. Lisa and Toby have also looked at it and gave suggestions.
Okay. So it sounds like it's not something that has been like directly shared with like faculty and teachers.
Yeah, we'll be doing that on the November 1st thing. And like most of these things are all things that are already happening.
Yeah. So, this is like taking what's already happening and putting it in a document. Okay, great.
And how does this document, once it's been submitted and like passed part of renewal, how does this document resurface as part of oversight or compliance, or does it?
I mean, it certainly comes, I mean, it's directly connected to the dashboard. So we'll see future dashboards where these things are, like we'll see this data. But right, like, does CDE come and ask for another report, or does the county, or we don't know?
No.
Yeah. Okay. It could be built into the MOU with the county moving forward. Right? Like some, they have asked, there have been in prior charter renewals, we've had MOUs with the county where in addition, they've asked for certain data at different times of the year. And like it gets turned into them through Epicenter. So.
Yeah, and I'll say, for instance, we're going for getting the load check, we're only for 2 year renewal coming up quick.
Right.
I mean, this that soon happened.
How long have we been low track?
The track just came out in the spring or the summer. Yeah. It's the first time the state's ever done published tracks. Yeah. And in fact, they're probably going this fall, they'll release the dashboard again, and then they'll refresh the tracks even before the school year is up. But we have to submit for renewal now. There are some schools that are going through that actually went through the renewal process like earlier this fall when the state, even the testing data hadn't been released. So they couldn't even use that data yet. So, but we are able to include our most recent SPAC scores. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Somebody make a motion.
I had a motion on the floor and Ann seconded it. And there's still no one on Zoom, so there's no other public comments.
So if there are no objections, we'll adopt the motion to adopt the corrective action plan. Hearing no objections. Motion to adopt the written corrective action plan is adopted. How many times did I say adopt?
You're doing great. What's next, boss?
Executive and Government Committee.
It is? That's what's next? Sorry. Maybe I'm looking at the wrong spot.
Sorry. Academic Oversight.
Okay.
Okay.
All good.
Can everybody hear me okay? Hi. Yeah. Can people hear me okay?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. So we met. It was a very short meeting because it was the day of the Keller fire and Daniel and Toby had to deal with supporting staff and making sure kids were okay. But we talked primarily about the fall NWEA data. Overall, the data reflected that 40% of students are above the 40th percentile in math and reading, with reading actually being at 60%. Once we broke that down into subgroups, we saw the sort of historic pattern of white students performing better, and all other subgroups had a gap in their performance. And looking at the growth targets, which basically the growth targets are based on each student's performance on NWEA last year, and NWEA projects where they should be this year based on goals set last year. And 34% of students are meeting their targets in math, and 48% are meeting their targets in reading. 70% of the eighth graders are meeting their growth targets. The students with disabilities have the highest percentage of students meeting the growth targets, which personally, as a SPED parent, I find amazing and so exciting. And Daniel talks some about how this data is being shared with the staff to support how they are moving forward with it and how they are taking the data and using it in the classroom. And then we also talked about the effective school board training, which I'm sure Greg will talk about more later. In terms of Daniel and Greg have been working on setting goals, and we're looking at a training in collaboration with another charter school in the spring. That's pretty much it.
I'll just add that the full report is connected to the academic committee's like meeting in Board on Track. You can download the slides and see all the data and everything. The
individual, subgroups. Yeah. And thank you for doing that.
Did,
board can also.
Sure. Yeah, you could put in the full board too.
That's really great to see the increased percentage of SPED students that are hitting growth targets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is SPED percentage, Daniel, like high teens or low 20s? Percentage of SPED.
Percentage of the student body with special needs?
Mid-teens.
Any other questions for Kara? All right, Anne.
So Daniel mentioned about stuff the coffee tomorrow. The readathon, we're about halfway through with the readathon. It wraps up on the 2nd. And I know just looking at the 99 pledges back end that we're at over $6,000 so far, which is great and much higher than we did last year. We have Oakland Roots tickets this Saturday for anybody who wants to catch the last game. And on the 30th is the FAC monthly Zoom, the evening call. We're doing a Chipotle dine and donate on the 23rd of November. We pushed it back. So just acknowledging that, like, we've had sort of a flurry of events in the beginning of the year, and it was sort of, I think we'll plan it differently next time and try to space them out a little bit more, but it was just kind of the way we were able to kick things off. Yeah, I think Daniel said this, but definitely there's been increased engagement on the fundraising side and I think the participation side on FAC. Like, I noticed a lot of new people at the Fall Fest coming and also volunteering that I've not seen before. So it's great. It seems like there's a lot of new engagement energy for folks. So hopefully that continues through the year. Yeah, is there anything I missed?
It does feel this energy. It really feels like people are participating and wanting to be involved.
Okay, so you're doing outreach any differently today to get more this year to get more people?
They were out on the
out on the
drop off.
First week of school.
Yeah.
No, and just recently, right? Mm-hmm. Weren't you all? I thought I saw y'all. After school or before school?
Elena was collecting books.
Okay.
One morning before school.
Yeah, some books have been bought.
Marcella is very vocal. Like every time.
Oh, yeah, drop. And she's been doing traffic duty sometimes. She's out there. But even like when I just came in, there was like a sign. I'd never seen signs like advertising the coffee, mm-hmm. like it was right. in the window.
Right, as soon as I come in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think people are doing some stuff around the lost and found and like just trying to have a lot more communication methods and like there were. Sarah put together, you know, a pamphlet this year for readathon, so that went home kids acts and people had seen it when we talked to them about at a Fall Fest. So I think there's just definitely increased communication and activity.
Also asking class parents to communicate, like an additional step to communicate with their classrooms about events and things. Yeah. And the bulletin boards are gonna happen.
Thanks.
Nightmares or dreams?
But I think that makes some on the fundraising side. I'm focused on the fundraising side now, but like I think we're close to that brings us closer to 40K, like, and we're only in October, which is pretty great, like, so far.
Thank you.
Remember.
Are you able to see how many people have bought Roots tickets?
We had just the other day, we had 9 tickets to start, but maybe more will happen too. I mean, it was a fast turnaround, but they're going to give us more tickets for the spring and hopefully the soul. I was inspired. Your wife wore a soul shirt at the.
The Roots are the Roots like, are great and the soul are way more fun.
Yeah. So like, yeah. Let's get an advanced date and then we can really promote it. We'll spring.
I mean, there's a way. I can't go to that game, but I would sponsor somebody else to go to that game.
Ooh, you can definitely. They make it pretty easy if you just buy a ticket, like to transfer tickets. You would have to find the person. Yeah. Better to just give Ann $20 or whatever and let Ann buy a ticket and, you know, or something. Or, you know, or not Ann, but.
Fundraising, say we have some. How would we do that, though? We have a pool of tickets for,
Yeah.
And
I mean,
you
could
distribute it.
Yeah, you'd need people to buy them and transfer them, and then you'd have to then like re-transfer them out to.
They're not physical tickets.
No, it's all mobile.
It's not like that anymore.
What's a physical ticket? Even Kara's laughing at you.
That could be something we do in the auction, like buying tickets for if that coincides state-wise, buying sponsoring tickets.
How much are you getting back from tickets?
$5.
But we can set it ourselves. So you could set it for $10 next time. Like they give us a base price of $20 a ticket. And then they say we can set $5 or $10 for our tradition. So we might try this next time.
Well.
All right. Now, Executive and Governance Committee. Committee reports. I can give a brief recap of what we discussed, me, Danielle, and Greg, 2 weeks ago. Planning was not routine. No, it was last month, like 2 weeks ago. I won't go into full detail, but we spent majority of the time continuing to talk about the effective school board framework, which Greg will bring and lead the discussion, and call for a vote. We also discussed, Danielle, around head of school evaluation process for this upcoming year, and I think landed on a great plan of essentially three groups of feedback for Danielle. One group with his direct reports, second is representatives from FAC, and then the third group would be from students, and that would be done twice a year. Targeting before Thanksgiving break, so kind of the early 20s, late 20s, or early 20s dates in November, and then again in mid-April before we head into heavy like SVAC testing in spring. That would be, the plans have to be ironed out in terms of specific dates and who would facilitate the interview, likely done in person. I think we have a great draft in terms of the questions, really keeping it simple and specific and tangible examples that we can solicit from the interview panel. Danielle, anything you want to add to that conversation?
The only other thing I was going to add about the framework was that we voted to adopt it last time. So we took that action.
Oh, was the same.
This was we left it as a vote, but the reason why we left this agenda item as a vote is for another reason. We always leave this one as a vote so that if we need to change who's on what committees, this is the place we can do that. And we need to do that tonight. So let's not move on before we do that. But real quick on the framework, since before the committee was meeting or met, and then since afterwards, Daniel and I have huddled a few times and we've continued to work on, I've been trying to support him in drafting interim goals that would line up and help us measure our progress throughout the year on those lagging indicator goals that we have that are connected to SBAC. So we don't know how the kids are going to do on SBAC except once a year. And so the idea is like what kind of data and how should we look at the data all year long in different data sets to understand how kids are doing. So we kind of went deep in one area, and then Daniel would have to go ask a bunch of questions about NWEA and learn a lot. And then we come back. We're probably due for another check-in. But at this point, there's nothing ready to show everybody. But I would say certain. Yeah. It's a public document. Mm-hmm. And so I imagine though that our next regular board meeting is like early December this year. Yeah. By that point, we could have at this point in this on that agenda, we could have a pretty robust conversation about, okay, let's look at the goals and let's talk about how these interim goals fit in and why Daniel thinks they're the right ones and how we would look at it. They're not ours to adopt, the interims, in the according to this effective school boards framework, that they're for him to own. We adopted the goals, but if we certainly get to give him input and feedback if we think the targets he's setting aren't realistic or not urgent, or if we think he's somehow misunderstanding our goals. So there will be that opportunity. And then the other thing I wanted to share was I found a coach who's a certified coach who's willing to train us. And they wanted to train us. Well, there's another school that wants to be trained, I believe, in March, and I'm checking in with them tomorrow. So I assume most people's calendars are available in March, and Daniel preferred a Friday, Saturday. Yep. So I think we were looking at either like the second full weekend in March now or the third full weekend in March. Someone had suggested not the weekend that is like Cesar Chavez weekend that leads into spring break. So maybe we won't take that off the table. And that's a 2-day training. It's really great fun and a lot of learning. And hopefully it'll be multiple schools all connected together. And then the last update I have on that is that since we last met as a board, I have moved up in the ranks in the coaching world. I have moved up from being just an aspiring coach to officially an assistant coach, nice. which was very exciting for me. So I'm feeling like getting some good momentum. And so, yeah, before we move on, any questions about where we are with interim goals, any questions on the March training, or other questions just about the framework in general? We could just chat for a few minutes if people have questions.
Homework?
Yeah. Yeah. Remind me of the homework. Are we assigned which chapter?
First chapter.
Just one.
Chapter one?
Yes, first chapter.
All right. Who did their homework? I don't think I assigned it to Lana's excused from the assignment. You got it?
I'm not
100% completion. Okay. Kara, how'd you do?
I read the first chapter.
All right. What, Daniel, what do you got? What do you recall? What were some headlines?
So I think obviously I 100% agree with it being student outcomes focused. And this is probably addressed later in the book or any training. The one thing that the noticing that came up for me was it can't be on the backs of people doing it no matter what. In terms of there's a lot, it's really, really hard work to work in a school, and you can't discount the adult experience in making that happen.
Yeah.
So I guess when I was reading it, there's just moments where I was like, oh, that seems like it's you're in this job, so you have to give up everything towards these outcomes. That's just I was interpreting what I was reading. I'm sure this is going to get addressed as you get into it.
As an educator, you mean, or as a board member?
As an educator.
As an educator. Yeah. Got it. Yeah. Yeah, which board are we? People have thoughts on which board, which kind of board we are. Are we outcomes focused?
No,
probably not. Not yet. Nope. That's why we're working on it. So that leaves us with patronage focus.
It has to be that.
Contribution focused and founder focused. I don't think we can know. Yeah, which is a. Yeah, which is basically us, us extracting value from the organization for our benefit.
become a board member.
Yeah, it did make you want to become a board member? Because there's a lot of boards that would love to have you as a board member. Not this one.
It'd have to be a Montessori
school. No, it would have to be a Montessori school. Did anyone, I mean, I remember now as I read this chapter, I was like fascinated by, like the lack of like training requirements by most states. I mean, we have training requirements about, as Lena, you know, conflict of interest and Brown Act and things like that, but yeah, not about the main thing, not about being effective on behalf of students. And in fact, because we do require those trainings, it lets us all feel like, oh, well, I'm trained. I got the training that the state requires, so therefore I am trained. Yeah.
But even the comment, and again, in the principal chapter, but back to feeling the qualification to be a board member, that you can't just rely on, oh, I've been at a board seat or a member of, a volunteer, or led some organization, therefore I am qualified. It's so different in the different contexts. A good reminder.
What are the three things? Knowledge-based failures.
Knowledge-based failures, skill-based failures. Is that what you mean?
Three things that you need to have.
And mindsets. Yeah.
They're actually qualifying to be a school.
Legally or according to this framework? Yeah, I mean, according to this framework, any reasonable person at about a sixth or seventh grade reading level who's been trained. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, part of
the three things that you...
Part of this is like, this actually, I think the framework's take would be like, it says a very wide set of the general population can become an effective school board member. It does not require advanced degrees and certain experiences and expertise. It requires some training and some coaching, but that the work of the board then can be done at like seventh, eighth grade reading level where like the whole community can participate in.
Yeah, tricky. I mean, I'm definitely like here to learn. I wouldn't mind having the training otherwise.
Yeah. We got to get you a copy of the book.
Yeah, I'll get it. I have it.
Okay.
I have it in Libby, but it's not. Did you say you got yours on Libby?
Hoopla.
Hoopla.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm still on waiting list.
Yeah.
But I'll buy it.
Okay.
Well, let's, I think by December, it's a little bit longer and you have Thanksgiving break. So read the rest of part one. It's chapter two and chapter three. It's the other, you read knowledge-based failures. You'll get to skill-based and mindset failures. And that'll get you through all of part one. Is that all it is? Yeah.
It's quick.
Feel free to read more.
Did you say, or when did you say you'll have some specific dates for the training?
Yeah, I'm talking to the other school tomorrow, so but they'll then need to go back to their board about it, so hopefully by the December board meeting. Okay. And if I have something sooner, I'll send out a note, but I think the dates to
14-15.
Yeah, I would hold 14-15 and 21-22, those two sets of dates.
I'll say that after reading that, I've had moments in my day, so I'm like, I'm doing something that's affecting student outcomes. Making this action plan.
Yeah. Is it actually affecting student outcomes? So,
how do I focus my days?
So, I appreciate the desire. Yeah, absolutely. You know, and when we get to evaluating, doing a self-evaluation, we're gonna look, in order to evaluate ourselves, we have to look at our time use, because some of the points earned on the framework to understand where you're at is to understand, well, how much time did you spend monitoring student outcomes? And effective boards spend up to 50% of their time monitoring student outcomes. That still leaves 50%
of our time doing other things and some, you know, your time also doing other things. So it's not that the other things aren't important and don't have to happen. They're just not the reason why schools exist. Like, you still have to feed the kids and you still have to deal with the pest control issue and all the other things. And that's not like a misuse of your time. It's just a question of, if we're doing our job and focusing at 50% and your evaluation is aligned to that, and then your cabinet's evaluations are aligned to that over time, then yeah, what people spend their time, choose to spend their time on will change, but it won't mean that the rest of the work doesn't happen.
Yeah, no, right.
Everything. Oh, yeah, yeah. Sorry, I misspoke. Everything improves student outcomes. The question is, what directly improves student outcomes? We will, like, when we get to budgeting, you will one day be able to make the case, like, the whole budget supports student outcomes. And it does. But that's not the question we're asking. Which are the investments that are directly aligned to the student outcome goals that we've created? That's the threshold. The direct versus indirect. They all are one or the other, for sure. Good. Yeah. Should be fun. So you can read additional chapters for extra credit, or there's also he took the book and created workbooks. So, like, smaller, like, kind of expanded on chapters, and they're also, you can find them on Amazon. So if you're like wanting, if you're really into, you know, the goals and guardrails process, or how Daniel's asking a lot of questions about, wait, once I get these goals, these interim goals, the language we use is, how does that cascade down through the org from here to Daniel, to Toby and Lisa, to lead teachers, to support teachers, to the FAC. And there's like specific workbooks that kind of talk that through. And then Daniel, if you need additional homework, there's another book that really is, this one is obviously like kind of the Bible for the board to read, and you need to read it, obviously. But there's another one that really you need to read, that's really about just like great management and execution. And it's not as much about governance. So I have that as an offering as well. It's really fun. It's called The Four Disciplines of Execution.
Same person?
Nope. Different author or group that wrote it. It's a very like business school kind of classic book. It is kind of a recommended way of like how you turn these interim goals and you like action, you like manage around them, like how you have weekly cadence meetings about progress about them and stuff like that with your team, not with us. Yeah. All right, we should move on, but we have some people coming and going. So we have some committee changes, I think, that we might discuss. So starting November 1st, Anne will be off the board and off all committees. Mm-hmm. And so, Lana, is there a committee you're interested in?
I did join the finance committee this last time. I mean, I attended the meeting.
Right.
I enjoyed it. I have not joined other ones, but it seems to me that there's an open need there, so I'm happy to join it. I kind of want to go wherever I would be most helpful. I know you're going to say all of them, but
well, that sounds great. Sure, Evan, how do you feel? You trust her?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay,
I'm on board. Please.
Okay, so we can include that in a motion here in a sec. Are there other? You're allowed to be on more than one if you'd like.
Is there? Like, could I join next month or in 5 months, or is there a time when I would need to join?
Yeah, so we agendize this item in general for any of us to join or leave committees every month. So every month you have the opportunity. And then also, I believe the moment the charter is renewed, all of our committees sunset. So that's the other. And then the work of those committees would all come right back up here to the board. So you have access to all of it.
Okay. I'll do finance for now.
All right, I motion. Oh, we should have made a motion first. See?
Sorry.
No, I messed up. I'm just saying. This is hard stuff. I motion that Lana joins the finance committee starting November 1st.
It's not Kevin.
7 seconds. Okay. Get back to the minutes here, Rick. Oops. Sorry, one moment. Okay. I'm motioning. Evan's taking a second. Go for it.
All right. Hearing no objections, the motion for Alana to join the finance committee is adopted.
Awesome. Oh, actually, can we also, can we make you an alternate on one of them? Pick one.
Have academic, executive, oh no, we already have an alternate.
Well, you know, but you can take the place of whoever is the current alternate.
I think
academic.
I think Anne's the alternate and academic right now.
Yeah.
Right. Say that again, Kara.
I said I think Anne is the alternate and academic, isn't she?
I think so.
Okay, great. Then yeah. then let's make Lana the academic alternate. So I'm gonna amend my motion. You still second it, Evan?
I do.
Great. Second. All right.
Yeah, illegal substances.
She brings treats. She's already like,
they're nuts.
All right.
Oh, I know.
All right. Other business.
Other business. What's next?
Approval of the September minutes. I'll take it.
Someone needs to motion.
I make a motion to approve the September board meeting minutes.
I'll second.
Okay. Hearing
no public, yeah, no public comments.
No public comments. Hearing no objections. A motion to approve the September board meeting minutes are adopted. Sorry, question. Oh, question.
Yep.
All right, I make a motion to approve the September 30th special meeting minutes.
I'll second.
No public comment. There are no objections. The approval to approve the September board meeting special meeting minutes is adopted.
Okay. I'll motion to approve the consent report. Is that what we're on?
Yeah.
Okay. Would anyone like second? To second? Thank you, Amy.
Can I second at this point or not yet?
No, okay. Next time. But I appreciate you being ready.
All
right. There's still no public comments on this item.
All right, no objections. The motion to approve the general consent report is approved. New business items for future business.
Read those chapters.
2 and 3.
You like homework?
Love
homework. Okay, great.
Should we put in the bucket of framework to discuss or review draft interim goals?
To sure. Your point. Yeah.
Then moving on to closed session.
Just say, yeah, say the time. There's no public comment.
It is 6:32. We're going to go into closed session. There's nobody on Zoom, so no public comments.
So I'm going to pause the recording, and we're going to ask Lana to step out. for a few minutes, and then we'll be back. Let me pause the recording.
All right, it is 7:03. We're returning back from closed session. And moving to, there are no actions were taken during closed session. Moving to closing items. Adjourn the meeting at 7:03, ahead of schedule.
Awesome.